Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's look at a few scriptures to start. Let's look at Genesis chapter 8. We started there Wednesday. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, and then you can also get over to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9. So we're going to look at those two scriptures to start here. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, Jesus' ministry, he had a lot to say about seeds. He spoke in parables and things that the people could relate to. He spoke in harvesting and planting seeds and so forth. And Genesis 8, it says, while the earth remaineth, well, it's remaining. Seed time and what? Harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So as long as this earth remains, there is going to be seed time and harvest. In Isaiah 55, starting in verse 9, it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but does what? Watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may do what? Give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Then this is the verse here. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we can see here, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed will produce. So there's nothing wrong with the seed, but it produces in a heart that's receptive and understands. Or you could say they receive it, they believe it, and act on it. And when we do, then there's harvest. There's transformation that takes place. So let's look, I want us to take a few minutes and let's look at the parable of the sower. And let's look at Matthew 13. I know it's in Mark and Luke. We may look at that, but for right now, let's look at Matthew 13. Starting in verse 18. This is the parable of the sower. And we looked at this on Wednesday. And we looked at the seed, but then the parable of the sower talks about what? Four different types of ground that the seed was received on or in. And so, I'll wait a moment for you to get there. Matthew 13 and verse 18. It says, hear ye therefore, I'm reading from the King James, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and does what? And understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catch away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And we spent some time looking at that. If you look at that in other translations, when it talks about wayside, the New Living Translation said footpath. Well, you know, anybody who's when you were young, if you were chasing in the woods or you were somewhere, there's a footpath you were on, right? Some of you may have known that. I did. You're running on a footpath or something that's been trodden down. The ground is what? Hard. It's hard. It's kind of hard to have something take root in that. Well, you know, he's making comparisons here to what? The heart. So when you look at a heart that's hard and they hear something, but they're like, I don't receive that, right? There's the devil can come and do what? Take away that which is sown. Now you may think, okay, let me add a little bit to that. Here's some thoughts here from just the scriptures, right? Let me read a few scriptures here that may help you on this. You don't need to turn here. I'll read them. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So this may be talking about somebody who's foolish, right? Could be. They're not open to receive the seed. Here's another scripture. Proverbs 2, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So this is talking about a heart that's seeking and intermeddling with and open to the wisdom of God. And when they are, the seed can take root, it can plant, see? But when it's hard, you're being foolish, see? You don't want to hear it, right? Here's another, Proverbs 18, verse 1. "Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding." "But that his heart may discover itself." So here, you know, sometimes people say, well, how can Satan take something that's sown very easily? Because a fool doesn't want anything to do with it. Now, I'm going to say something, you may agree or you may not, but we all have not arrived. And so we may have an area that's hard in an area that you ain't ready to receive the word. And that's why we need to look at all of these things, because you say, well, hey, praise God, I'm open to the word. Yeah, okay. And then let's share something and you see, like, I don't agree with that. Oh, so that's a hard footpath right there. See? And so, you know, we all need to be open that if there's an area, you might say, well, I'm not treating them in love. Oh, okay. But you understand my point, that the word of God, when it's allowed in, will begin to shine into certain areas of our life that need to be turned over and worked, right, with the word of God. See what I'm saying? So you can see here, as we go back to, it says here, the one that was sown by the wayside is the one that heareth the word, understandeth it not. And then verse 20, it says, "But he that received the seed in stony places." So this is the wayside. A wayside, in some of the other translations, it talks about the wayside being rocky soil, is another term that they use. The wayside, or stony places, I'm sorry. Some translations, I think the New Living says stony places, right? Rocky soil, excuse me. It says here, "The same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while." That means he continues for a while. "For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." So you can see that not much soil, but persecution, tribulations arise. Why? Because of the word, and they become offended. Verse 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches do what? choke the word, or you could say strangle it, and he becometh unfruitful. So now you can see up to this point, we've seen three different types of ground. The seed's been sown, and in three different types of ground, it's become unfruitful. No fruit, right? Would you not agree? Right? Now, verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground is what? Is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Now, that's completely different than the first example. That first example we saw said, anyone that heareth the word, so they heard the word, but they understandeth it not. This here said, when it's received in good ground, they hear the word, understand it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So we can see here the differences in the ground, isn't it? The differences in the ground. And so the ground is our heart. That's really what it is. The ground references or refers to our heart. And the New Living, it said here, the seed that, I'll read verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100-fold, 100 times as much as has been planted. So we can see here that, and I'm not going to take the time here to look at Mark and Luke. You can look at that yourself. But we, again, to reiterate, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed in this example that Jesus is using, when it's sown into good ground, it will produce. So something that's on the wayside or a hard footpath or rocky soil or sown among thorns doesn't produce. Doesn't produce. So let me just read this here. You can turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at this for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, the word of God, or we could say the seed. The word of God, or we could say the seed, because we didn't look at Luke 8, but Luke 8, 11 says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. That's what Jesus said in the parable. So when we look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, this says here, the word of God, or you could say the seed, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the seed is alive, the New Living. The seed, or the word of God, is what? Alive and powerful. So the seed is perfect. The word of God is perfect. Or you could say it's not corruptible. So the seed, the word of God, is not corruptible. So this seed that we handle, the word of God, will produce. We need to be fixed and firm in our thinking where that's concerned, because this is important. Just I'm referencing back to that entry that I read. That woman kept praying over and over. The seed, when it's received in your heart and acted upon, will produce. It will produce healing. It will produce prosperity. It will produce. But the heart has something to do with it. Because if we bring into question the seed, then you bring into question the entire Bible. Because the seed is the word of God, and it cannot fail. Thus, the seed cannot fail. Amen. We fail. But the seed cannot fail. Hallelujah. Let me read this here. Proverbs 4. My son, attend what? To my words. Attend to the seed. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let not this seed depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. Keep the seed in the midst of your heart. Keep that seed planted. Don't tear it up or disturb it. For they are life unto those that find them in health. What's health? The seed is health to what? All my flesh. The seed is health to my flesh. And if I get enough of the seed down in my spirit, it will produce health and wholeness. Hallelujah. Keep thy heart, keep the ground with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and look at verse 9. Talking about the seed, the word of God. This is how we gain success in life. People want to know, how do I succeed? Get enough of the seed, the word of God, in your spirit. Begin to know who you are in Christ. Let the seed reproduce in you. But look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, if you look at that, it just means don't practice. Don't continue practicing sin. That's what that really means. It doesn't mean you don't miss it. It means that you're habitually practicing sin. This says here, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For what? For his seed. I'm reading from the King James. I love this. For the seed, his seed, what? Remaineth in you. Oh, yes, sir. If his seed remains in me, then I can't sin. I won't like it. If I miss it, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. You may stumble, you may miss it, but as you grow, if the seed remains, righteousness, holiness remains, you won't like to sin. It'll be uncomfortable for you. Why? Because the seed remaineth in you. Oh, glory. The word of God, the seed of God's word, remains in our spirit and produces. Hallelujah. Let me read this in the New Living. It says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. His seed is in them. So they can't practice that old way of doing things because his nature is in us. What? Let me read this. The word seed is the Greek word sperma. I don't know if you knew that, but now you do. The word seed is the Greek word sperma, which is where we get our word sperm from. God injected his own seed into you the day you gave your life to Christ. Just as the sperm of a human father carries the DNA of that father, God's seed, the word of God, carries the life and nature of God within it. When the divine seed was implanted on the inside of you, it imparted into you the very nature of God himself in your spirit. That's why, I tell you, I remember, I had a cursing mouth. Every verb, adverb, whatever thing you had was a four-letter word added to it. I'm serious. If I wanted to add a little color, I just cursed. But the moment the seed was planted in me, the cursing stopped. Why? Because his nature was injected, his life, his holiness, his righteousness changed my spirit. I couldn't swear. It just wasn't there. So his very DNA is injected into the seed. Hallelujah. That's why I say this word that we hold is the seed. And I am not ashamed of the seed, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that what? Ah. So it won't work for you if you don't believe. It's to everyone that believes. That's what we're looking at here in the parable of the sower. The seed won't be fruitful. It won't produce. It won't unlock or release the power of God because you didn't receive it. You didn't believe. You see? This ought to show us and give us some great insight in the area of love. If we let the seed get into our spirit, see, and I'm talking about all of us here now, because what did the scripture just say? If I let the seed of his word in the area of love get planted in my spirit, it will produce if I don't get offended. Because what was that third example? It said, I threw it into a thorny place. And it didn't produce because the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches choked it. Or you could look at the second example, which was rocky soil. And it didn't take root because there wasn't much soil there. So all of us, when we look and do self-examination, we look and see the power of God to love unconditionally is in the seed. It's in the seed. And how I receive it and act upon it will determine whether I bear fruit in that area. So if I'm not fruitful in a particular area, it's got to be me. It's got to be me. It's got to be my heart has to be developed in this area. Am I not correct? As Brother Hagin used to say, if you can't say, oh me, say, oh my. Because it's true. The seed has the power of God, the DNA of God impregnated in it. That's why when it says, it is the power of God unto salvation. And that word is soteria, which means deliverance and salvation and healing. So it has the power to do exactly what the Word of God says it will do. But it's the ground. Hallelujah. And then, of course, we're familiar with these other scriptures. I mentioned it, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but what? But of incorruptible by the Word of God, or by the seed. That's how we were changed. And it says, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the seed liveth and abideth forever. Forever. Can't change. Hallelujah. So here's another scripture, and I'm looking at this in light of the seed, the Word of God. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God, or you could say whatsoever is born of the seed, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the seed will cause us to overcome, because he said, I've overcome. He said over in John. So hallelujah. The seed is the Word of God. Now let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. Looking at the seed, 2 Peter chapter 1. Hope you're getting something out of this. I'll tell you, I got blessed. Because it'll help us. God wants us to be successful and to produce fruit in every area of our life. Every area. Every area. And we can. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath, not going to, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life of godliness. How? Through the seed. Ho! It's through the seed. It's through the seed. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? These great and precious promises, these are the seed. So this says here, he's given us great and precious promises that by, you could say, by the seed, you might be partakers of what? The divine nature. So the seed has his divine nature in it, and we have to receive it. And it will produce. It will produce. You know, sometimes when we walk through things, it doesn't look like it's going to change. It doesn't look like it can happen. It will happen. Why? Because of the seed. I'm not doing it. All I'm doing is operating in faith. I'm by faith saying, I'm going to do this. It's working in me. That's exactly what that woman did when she kept praying for her situation in her body. She said, it's done. What does that mean? The seed's been planted. Now I just thank God it's done. I thank God it's done. You know, well, I'll continue. So in order for the seed to produce, or you could say be activated, you must receive it, you must believe it or act on it. And if you believe or act on the seed, it will produce. It will produce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read this. I'm going to read this a little excerpt. It's just a paragraph here. From F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. He has some chapters. Yes, it does focus on healing, but he focuses on the seed in some areas in this chapter. This is on page 116 and 17, if you have that book. But he's talking about faith and appropriating faith. This is what he said. I tell you, this is just such great revelation. He said, we should realize, this is F.F. Bosworth writing, we should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man and that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. Oh, that right there, I'll tell you, I jumped off, I said, woo! I threw the book up when I read that. Because we get stuck in the natural. I'm going to read it again. We should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man and that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. But the things of God cannot be discerned, appropriated, or known by the natural senses. They cannot. So the things of God cannot be appropriated or known by the natural senses. They were given to us to help us in this earth, not to know God and His word and His things. We have to what? Walk by faith and not by sight. So listen, this is what he continues. He said, no physical sensation such as pain, weakness, or sickness can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine promise. That cannot be a reason to doubt the fulfillment of any divine promise. He continues, how foolish it would be to doubt the promise of Christ's second coming because I felt sick or weak or had a pain. He said, and if a pain is not a good reason for doubting one promise, it is not a good reason for doubting any promise. God is just as faithful to one promise as to another. Therefore, it is equally as foolish to doubt God's promise to heal because of pain or any disagreeable feeling as it is to question Christ's second coming because of these things. God is faithful that promised. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. The seed is pure. It will not change. And so my natural feelings has no place in the receptive and believing of God's divine promise. Now, I'm going to say something here. That does not mean we ignore those things, because sometimes people say, I believe I receive. And then they don't go to the hospital or they don't go to the doctor, and they did. I'm not saying you ignore physical things that may come up in your body. You go to the hospital, you go, and if you have to take medicine, take medicine. But in the interim, you get the seed of God's word down in your spirit, and the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken this mortal body and restore it and heal it. It'll make organs change and be healthy, because the seed will work every time. That's correct. So just like I was saying before, Hebrews 10:23, let us what? Hold fast to the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. For God is faithful that promised. But when it says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, we're really saying, let us hold fast the confession of the seed. Let us hold fast the confession of the seed. The seed, the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn over just a few minutes here. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 12. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. The seed of God's word will produce. First Thessalonians, I'll wait till you get there because you all need to see this. Whatever device you're looking on, whether it's paper or electronic, I'll wait till you get there because you all need to see this. And if you don't have a Bible, look on with somebody or watch the screen. They'll put it up on the screen in English. Amen. Verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I want to focus on verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. We had a little bit of that this morning. Because, listen to this. When you received the seed, when you received the word of God, the seed, when you received the seed, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God. You received it as the divine seed. Which because you did, it effectually worketh. It effectually worketh. It effectually worketh. It worketh. It worketh. It worketh. Where? In you that believe. Glory to God. Because you received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as the divine word of God, the seed, what does it say? It says, because of that, it effectually is working. It's producing. It's working. It's producing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let that meditate, sink on it. I just kept saying it. It's working in me. It's working in me. The seed's working in me. It's working in me. The seed's working in me. I shouted that all day yesterday. It's working. It's working. It's working in me because I believe. I received it as his divine seed, and it's working in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The seed is working in us. It's working in us. To bring forth whatever that seed will bring forth. What does it say? It says what does it say in 2 Peter? It said everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Life and godliness is producing in me. That's why. If we let this seed get down in us and we keep adding to it and watering and meditating on it, that's why in Joshua 1:8, if we do that, we'll make our way successful. We'll be successful in life in every area. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You need to meditate on that today. When we receive the seed as from God, and his DNA, his nature is impregnated into that word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, the seed, was with God, and the seed was God. The seed is God. It's his very nature. And when I get that down inside of me, we begin to act like God. We begin to talk like God. We begin to look like God. And our actions begin to look like him in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. I hope you got something from this. I'll tell you, I got so excited looking at this. The seed is working in us. It's effectually working in us that what? That belief. That believe, that believe. And that, when you go back and you look at the parable of the sower, right? What happened? And the same with that example of the woman that was struggling, trying to get healed. She just kept asking God. She was not in faith. Glory to God. Praise God. I'll give you one scripture to leave you with. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word, the seed is settled in heaven. The seed is settled. It's settled. As I receive it and I let it get in my heart, it's settled. It ought to be settled. I'm healed and healing's working in me. I'm prosperous and prosperity is working in and through me. Peace is in me. Love is operating in me, and it's working in and through me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that the seed has been received into our hearts. And we thank you, Father, that it's producing. In those areas of our life that maybe it hasn't produced, we examine, we change. We let the Word of God shine in and change those stony places in our hearts and areas that maybe we haven't been receptive or maybe we've been hurt by somebody. And we thank you, Father, for the Word working in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. The seed will produce. It's settled in heaven. The seed will produce. So you can't stand before God and complain and save up. He'll say, well, I was looking at your heart, and there was the problem. That's why he gave them parables, so that we could take a look and see how to make the necessary corrections. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.